You already know that you're supposed to stay calm when your child is losing it. But what if that's hard for you? What if you keep trying to stay calm, but you end up yelling and losing your cool? In today's episode, I'm going to show you why chasing calm and focusing on staying calm all the time is actually setting you up to feel like you're failing as a parent. And I'm going to show you what you can focus on instead so that you can feel successful even when calm feels out of reach. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place, because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey, friend, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and I'm so glad you're here. So we hear it all the time, right? You're supposed to stay calm when your child is losing control. I'm sure I've said it a lot of times on this podcast myself, so not throwing anyone else under the bus, but this is the message that we as parents are getting over and over and over. We have to lend our calm. We have to stay calm at all costs. We have to make sure that when our child is losing it, we are the calm, regulated caregiver. And there's nothing wrong with this idea that being calm and regulated is helpful to our kids when they're losing it. So I don't want to bash the idea of being calm. If that's accessible to you, that's great. But for a lot of us as parents, we find that it's hard to always feel calm inside. And a lot of times when our child is losing it, we feel activation in our bodies. Our nervous systems are activated in those moments. And so it can feel really challenging to just ignore that and focus on staying calm. It can feel disingenuous, and it's really, really hard to execute. And the more I work intensively with parents in my program, the more I realize that staying calm is kind of a red herring. And what I mean by that is that we can get so caught up in this idea that we have to be calm all the time that we lose something even more important. And we end up feeling like we're failing, feeling disconnected from our kids. And especially if you are raising a highly sensitive, deeply feeling child, if you are not showing up authentically, if you're so focused on staying calm that you're losing out on more important things, your child is going to feel that. Your child is going to feel that maybe even before you do, and it's going to impact how the relationship feels. How could it not? And so today I want to talk about what is actually more important than calm when it comes to co-regulation, when it comes to having a relationship with your child that feels good to both of you, and when it comes to feeling successful and effective as a parent. It's funny. You know, there's a reason I named my program Chaos to Connection and not Chaos to Calm. I mean, there's really good legal reasons because I'm pretty sure Chaos to Calm is already taken. But more importantly, the journey that I am taking parents on in my program is not from chaos to this magical state of constant calm. It's from chaos to a genuine state of connection, even in the hard moments, even when you feel like losing it, even when you don't actually feel calm. Speaking of my program, I am so excited that on Friday of this week, okay, so this episode's coming out Wednesday, so 2 days from now, I'm releasing my first participant interview on the podcast. If you've ever wondered how this program feels on the inside, what it's like to work this closely with me and what kinds of results you can get, you're going to want to hear these. I'm going to release probably one a month. I think you are really going to relate to these stories. And this week, especially if you have a child who is struggling with aggressive behaviors toward their sibling, toward you, if you've got a child who gets destructive when they get really, really mad, this episode on Friday is for you. And if you are struggling, if you're spinning your wheels, if you are working so hard and feeling angry and resentful of how hard it feels to parent your highly sensitive, deeply feeling kid, then I want to talk to you. Book a free Zoom call with me and let's talk about what's going on. And here's the thing. If my program is not the right next step for you, I'm going to point you in the right direction. I only accept people into the program who I know I can help. Okay. And so if that's not you, because what you have going on isn't quite the right fit for what I help with, or if maybe there are some things you need to do first, I am going to let you know. So this call is going to be so valuable for you, no matter which direction we end up going in the end. Go to raisedresilient.com/breakthrough to schedule your call. And if you don't see a time on my calendar that works with your schedule, just reach out to me. You can email me, Dr. Hillary, D-R-H-I-L-A-R-Y @raisedresilient.com. And let me know that none of the times you see work with your schedule or your time zone. Okay. I've had people do this program from Australia, New Zealand, and I know you're sleeping when most of these times are available. So if that's you, reach out. I will find a time that works for you. So again, that's raisedresilient.com/breakthrough. I would love to talk to you. Okay. So let's talk about why this idea of staying calm all the time as a parent is hurting us. I mean, first of all, I think it's unrealistic. So before I get into all of the reasons, the very real reasons that I think it's unrealistic to just always be calm as a parent, I want us to do a little exercise together. So if you feel safe to do so, and as long as you're not driving while you're listening to this, go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to imagine what you thought you would be like as a parent. I want you to picture how you imagined that you would interact with your child. And I want you to picture what you imagined your child would be like. How did your child behave? How did your child interact with you? I want you to imagine what you thought you would do when your child behaved in a way that you didn't like. How did you imagine you would handle it before you became a parent? Just take a minute and sit with that image, sit with that vision. And if you're anything like me, you imagined this sort of almost Mary Poppins-like persona that could stay calm in the face of hard moments and was always able to figure out the way to get the child to listen without yelling, right? You didn't picture being someone who would lose your cool, grit your teeth, yell at your child, threaten punishments. And you probably didn't picture your child triggering you the way that they do, right? You pictured a child who maybe they misbehave sometimes, but you'd be able to handle it. And I can promise you that nobody came into parenting more confident that that persona would be the person raising their kids than I did. Because I literally had experience working with other people's kids, so much experience. And I had worked in therapeutic preschools and residential treatment centers, and these kids called me every name in the book, and they would spit, and they would hit, and they would kick, and I handled it with so much calm and grace, and just, I didn't feel activated inside, and I was just able to work within the structures of whatever program I was working in and had this great relationship with the kids, and it just flowed. It came so naturally. Like, I never felt like I wanted to lose my cool with these kids. So I thought that I would come into parenting and just be the calm that my kids needed when they were dysregulated. So when I had my first child and I found myself losing my cool, I found myself yelling, raising my voice at him, no one was as shocked as me. You know what I mean? Like, the fall from grace there was rough. But all of us come into parenting having been parented and having had a lot of our own emotional needs go unmet. And I've said this so many times before, but I'm going to say it again because it's really important. This is not because our parents didn't care. It's because they did what they knew and they didn't know everything they needed to know. But maybe more important than what our parents knew or didn't know about parenting is the fact that our parents entered parenting with their own unhealed trauma. Okay, I've said before that my dad was hit with a belt. And not just once or twice, like this was a regular thing. This was the way of disciplining. Sometimes he was woken up from sleep because his dad would get home late from work and then he was beaten for whatever the heck he did that day. And it's easy to hear that and think that my grandpa was this mean, uncaring man, but that could not be further from the truth. My grandpa was a good and loving man and he came into parenting with his own trauma. He grew up without a mom because his mom died in childbirth and there were 11 kids and they were all sent to live with somebody separate. So they all got separated and were being raised by someone who was not their primary caregiver, who was not their parent. And if you go back a generation before that, they immigrated to this country because it was a new start and a better place to raise their kids, or at least that was the hope that they moved here with. And that's just my family. And that's just three generations. We could go back further, right? And I know for your family, there's a story there too. Every single one of our parents came into parenting with their own unhealed trauma. And so every generation before us raised kids with that trauma without realizing it. We were not talking about this. Attachment wasn't even beginning to be studied until the 1950s. And that research was not more widely disseminated until the 1980s. And even then, it wasn't mainstream. So not only did our parents not know what they didn't know, but we were building generation upon generation upon generation on trauma, on unhealed trauma that people were not even aware of. And now we know that that unhealed trauma literally gets passed down through our DNA. So it's not just that our parents may have parented us in a certain way based on their trauma that they didn't even know they had. But it's also the fact that their DNA predisposed them to have a certain window of tolerance before their nervous system was activated. And so we grew up with nervous system activation that we didn't ask for, that may have just been passed on through DNA. And then for a lot of us, our parents easily got reactive and dysregulated. And they didn't understand that they were reactive or dysregulated because we were the problem. That was the paradigm through which people understood parenting when we were kids, right? Bad behavior, bad kid, need to correct that, need to punish that, need to reward what's good. And now, as we are parenting our own kids, the pendulum is swinging in a very different direction with this whole idea of gentle parenting, conscious parenting, respectful parenting. And we're being told that that reactivity that our parents had was bad, bad, bad. And we can't do that. And we have to stay calm. We've got to stay calm. But that's really tricky when you are coming into parenting with a reactive nervous system, when your child's behaviors trigger a part of you to feel very unsafe and trigger your nervous system to move into fight or flight. You're not asking for your child's behaviors to trigger you. Intellectually, you can understand that your child is doing things that are developmentally appropriate. And yet, in the moment when it happens, you go from 0 to 60 because you're triggered. And so you start to feel like you are failing your child, like you're failing as a parent. And so then what do? Well, then we turn to social media and we look for parenting tips and we think, okay, how can I be better at this? I'm obviously not doing well enough. How can I be better at this? And I realize this might sound odd coming from someone who has a parenting social media account, but we consume all of these parenting tips and what we are really doing is we are outsourcing our knowing of being in relationship with our child. We are so disconnected from that inner knowing of what our child needs and what feels right in the parenting relationship. We outsource it to these scripts that we find on Instagram. And so we try to say the right thing and we try to stay in this magical state of calm all the time, all the while ignoring our nervous system activation and our own needs and feelings and ignoring the generations upon generations of unhealed trauma upon which our parenting situation is built. I mean, you know, maybe you recognize intellectually that your parents had some trauma and their parents had some trauma, but I doubt that you are really giving yourself the grace that is deserved for being a cycle breaker, for being the one to say, this stops here. I am not going to pass this trauma down to one more generation. If that's you, you're amazing and you're doing something really, really powerful. And you're also doing something that is really tricky and that a lot of people don't have the guts to do. And I firmly believe that focusing on staying calm through all of our kids' difficulties as the goal is hurting us as parents, because trying to stay calm all the time without working on all the other stuff I just mentioned is unrealistic. And I would argue, not possible. Now, I am not suggesting that you just yell at your child all the time, okay? I'm not suggesting that we just go back to the reactive way of parenting that a lot of our parents used. I am not suggesting that we give up or we stop trying or we just say, whatever, it's fine. Calm isn't realistic, so let's just lose our cool all the time. But I do think that focusing on being calm all the time and focusing on using the scripts that we find on Instagram plus this sort of false sense of being calm when we don't actually feel calm is causing us to feel like we're failing at parenting and making parenting a whole lot harder than it actually needs to be. And again, it's not that feeling calm is bad. It's not that we can't feel calm. It's just that I think a lot of times we're trying to force feeling calm when we don't. And so instead of focusing on staying calm all the time, I want you to shift your focus to staying connected. Now, what does that mean? First things first, before you can ever be connected to your child, you have to be connected to yourself. Your relationship with any other person, your partner, your child, is only ever going to go as deep as you can get in your relationship with yourself, is only ever going to be as connected as you feel to yourself. And so when your child is losing it, you are not staying connected to yourself if you are trying to ignore the sensations in your body and just constantly project calm that you don't feel. So instead, can you first connect with yourself? Can you connect with what you feel in your body? Can you recognize, I feel activated right now? You don't have to fake being calm when you don't feel that. And what happens when we do try to fake being calm is that we white knuckle and we white knuckle and we white knuckle and then we lose it on our child and we eventually yell and then we feel like we're failing. So focusing on connection means first connecting with yourself, making space throughout your day to feel your feelings, to sit with those feelings, to notice where you feel them in your body, to name them, to acknowledge them to yourself. I feel really overwhelmed. I feel angry. I feel sad, right? I know that sounds so basic, but man, we cannot do this for our kids if we are not doing this for ourselves. And going back to that trauma and the needs not being met, most of us didn't get co-regulation when we were kids. We weren't taught how to handle big feelings. We were just taught to ignore them. And most of us have not unlearned those patterns. And so we're just trying to layer this false sense of calm on top of feelings that we have not processed. Staying connected also means staying authentic. So if you're just trying to repeat scripts that you hear either on this podcast or on Instagram, you are going to feel inauthentic. Now, that doesn't mean that scripts are completely useless, right? They give us an idea of some helpful things we might say. But I would argue that 99 times out of 100, the energy you bring is so much more important than what you actually say. Finding that authentic to you voice is part of what I help parents do in my program. And I actually had somebody say this week that prior to joining the program, she was just trying to sound exactly like I do, listening to the podcast and trying to implement that. And it wasn't until she really found her own voice that she started to feel effective as a parent. And that is incredibly powerful because if you are constantly trying to sound like me or Dr. Becky or Janet Lansbury or whoever, you are not going to feel like you are showing up to parenting in a way that is real. So we're talking about staying connected to yourself, staying connected to your authentic voice and who you really are. And then of course, we're also talking about staying connected to your child. So it is so much more important for you to stay connected to yourself and to your child in a hard moment than it is for you to portray this false sense of calm for the sake of being calm. But when you can truly stay connected to your child in a hard moment, that means you're connected to the most generous interpretation of their behavior, connected to what's going on underneath that behavior, connected to the needs, connected to the empathy for that struggling little person in this moment. If you're white knuckling, just trying to sound calm at all costs, it's not going to be effective. Full stop. I have a new parent in my coaching program, and she sent me a video of herself trying to co-regulate with her highly sensitive child. And she was like, I'm saying all the right things. What am I missing? And so I asked her to play the video back just for herself and to really reflect on what was happening in that moment. And she messaged me back and she was like, oh my goodness, I'm not being empathic at all. I'm so mad and I am just trying so hard to stay calm, but it's totally fake. And I said, exactly. You're not feeling calm. And so the things you're saying to your child right now are not coming across as authentic. And so what she needed to do was sit with her own feelings first. And she needed to make some space for those because she was trying so hard to stay calm and say the right things that she was losing herself in the process. And she was losing her connection to her child. Until I asked her to watch that video back, she truly couldn't understand why what she was saying wasn't landing with her child. But as soon as she watched it back, she realized, I'm just so focused on staying calm that it's coming across almost robotic and uncaring. And that's exactly what was happening. I would rather you not stay calm. I would rather you feel activated. Recognize that. Take a break or not. Maybe you lose it with your child. Maybe you raise your voice. And then to stay connected to your child would mean to recognize what you were doing with your activation wasn't feeling good to your child or safe to your child in that moment. So maybe you take a breath and you say to yourself, this is really frustrating. I feel really frustrated. And that makes sense. And then you look at your child and you have the capacity now, because you've acknowledged your own feeling, to say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I raised my voice and, you know, I'm working on handling my mad feelings the right way. And I'm not perfect at it, but I'm going to keep working on it. And I don't know about you, but when I can do that for myself, suddenly I have the capacity to co-regulate with my child. So I would rather you stay connected to all of your feelings, even the messy ones, than try to white knuckle through them just for the sake of being calm. Okay. I think if we can start to focus more on coming home to ourselves, on regulating our nervous systems by allowing all of our own feelings, to having the kind of relationship with ourselves that feels good and authentic, and then of course also to having the kind of relationship with our child that feels good to both of us. So I want you to let go of constantly chasing calm. I want you to stop white knuckling. I want you to start recognizing your own feelings, making space for those feelings to exist. And as always, if this is something you need more support with, reach out. I would love to talk to you. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raised resilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.